Thank you guys for coming out this morning. I know it's awful weather, and it's Monday, and it's after the Gawker party and the Facebook party, so I noticed there's people around my age, so I'm guessing all the young folks didn't make it. This is Beyond the Blogosphere. The way in which this panel is going to go, there's not going to be a Q&A at the end. So if you have questions as we talk about this, feel free to put your hands up, and I'll be wandering to here. And what we'll need you to do is go to the mic because we're recording this. We're podcasting it, so all the people that didn't make it up this morning will be able to hear this later on.
Millions and millions that are
So feel free to, like, don't wait for the end, because if you do, it's going to end and you're going to go along your way. If you have questions, feel free to join in. What I'm going to do is allow our panelists to introduce themselves, tell you a little bit about what they do, and then we will start our discussion. So we'll start.
I'm Damon Berger. I'm the Director of Business Development for Revision 3. Some of you may know Revision 3. We produce 10 shows, including Dig Nation, The Totally Rad Show, Techzilla, etc. We reach an audience of about 4 million viewers a month between, you know, throughout the entire network of our shows. You know, we do podcasts, you know, basically that you can experience wherever you want, whenever you want, kind of taking things away from, you know, the traditional model of television where you have to be fixed to a certain point, you know, to watch a show. So it's kind of basically what we do.
Okay, but it's video.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm Gary Vaynerchuk. I do a wine video blog, and a lot of people watch it.
Including me. Including me. I'm Nicole Lappin. I'm a news anchor for CNN, the service formerly known as Pipeline, now CNN.com Live.
I'm Omid Ashtari. I work at the Creative Artists Agency. I'm a talent agent. We represent writers, actors, directors, producers, music, and everything, and I work in the digital area, so I work with web talent.
What I want to do is start off real quick and find out. We were having this discussion backstage, and I'm going to try not to continue to say that since we've already talked about this for 45 minutes. Who in here creates some kind of content, either video or does a blog, or that's why? Okay, so it's awesome. Everybody's
Prager.
So then is the burning question for all of you, how do I then turn this into a business? How do I make money off doing what I do? That's what we want to know. So let's start down here and say, all right, so when you're out looking, what is it that you're looking for and where are you looking?
We sort of look everywhere. The best way to sort of get to us is grow an audience. It's a lot of referrals are what come to us, whether it's friends, colleagues, peers, other bloggers, other vloggers. They send us stuff to watch. You know, talent is talent. If you're good and you make good content, we will notice it and we will get interested. But you have to be able to market yourself and brand yourself. You have to show yourself off to the world. And there's, as we all know, thousands and thousands of people doing exactly this. You have to make yourself stand out. Everyone we try to get in business with somehow stands out in some capacity, whether they are an amazing personality or they create a really big interactive experience on their blog. It can really vary, but you just really need to stand out, and you have to be very unique so that you bring a certain message across and your talent really shows through your blog or vlog or whatever the case might be.
So let me ask, can you give us five people that refer things to you or that you go to and say, you know what, this person, whenever they send me something, I look at it because I know either they've created an audience and they know how to do this.
I can give you five people when no one would know who they are. I mean, they're literally people in the entertainment business that are friends and colleagues.
So these are primarily people. These are offline people. These are people in
LA,
New York.
Offline and online, actually. It's a little bit of both.
Okay. All right. So one of the things then that we know we have to do is create some kind of crowd, right? You need to go find, and then you need to have some connection outside of simply what you, the social media sphere. Right, because we sort of all exist together, and if you've been here, you've been reading all the Twitters about everything, and it seems like a very important thing until you go talk to somebody who didn't come here, and they're like, what the hell is Twitter, or what the hell is whatever. So getting outside of the traditional social media sphere and making contacts, going to places, meeting people, right? These are things you need to do.
It's all of that put together. I mean, frankly, you know, being in this space, I follow a lot of things on Twitter and all these other different kinds of social media techniques for communication. So we are watching that stuff. We're looking at that kind of stuff. We're always following it. So that's the easiest way to get to know your get to be known. But at the same time, it goes back to having great content. If you have great content, everyone will at some point somehow learn about it. You know, no matter who you are, it takes a while to sort of get through the muddle that everyone else is doing the same kind of content. And if you produce good stuff that's very entertaining, it will eventually rise to the top in some capacity, whether it be word of mouth through the web or word of mouth through your friends or through whoever it might be. But somehow it'll rise to the top.
So branding was something that we talked about, right? That's very important. And you didn't have any of these sort of connections. You just sort of said,
I just forced them.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, so, excuse me.
It sounds like we went to the same party, but we really didn't.
I think the fact of the matter is that life is a DNA game. You need to know who you are and what you are. So if you want to be the biggest star on earth and you know in your gut you're not, don't go for it. You're wasting your time. Embrace what you want. When I decided to get into a content game after building up my family wine shop and realized money wasn't making me happy, I wanted to express myself. I thought at length about doing a sports show because I thought there was more monetization behind it. You know, I'll be on SportsCenter, I'll be cool. I realized that ultimately I was more about wine than I was sports, and wine needed me more. And even though I knew it was a much smaller niche and it would be so much more work. I mean, and it's also very frustrating. This is why you have to do what you love. Because, you know, a year and a half in of doing 5 days a week, I'm still nowhere in my mind. There's still no me being on Conan O'Brien, no Time Magazine, no signing with CAA, no having a big PR person, none of that yet. But the reason I did it is because I loved it and I was happy.
So when you first started, and once you put the content together, because what we talked about, right, was it's important to also go out and brand, right?
Sure.
Content's king, but
become part of the conversation. Stop spamming. You know, go out there and add things to the, yeah, clap that up, because spamming sucks. What you need to do is, you know, for me, I put out a great show, and I didn't go to, like, a different wine blog and say, yo, this is a great comment, but you should check out winelibrarytv.com. That's where I'm ripping it. No, I gave great content to the conversation. I said, you're right, Chinon is wonderful from the Loire Valley, but Bourgogne might be even better. How many people drink Bourgogne every day? Raise your hand. Exactly. How many people have ever heard of Bourgogne? Raise your hand. Awesome. Let's talk about wine later, my man. That's good work. So the fact of the matter is you have to go out there and become part of the conversation, not a spammer, and then people are going to find you. So that was a big part of my branding, getting the initial wave of wine people to watch me. And then because I'm shockingly handsome and extremely entertaining, I knew I'd get everybody else.
And does anybody know who JT the Brick is? Because he sounds exactly like JT the Brick, both from New York.
Justin,
right?
Timberlake? I do get that a lot. Right. Thank you.
So at CNN, it's different, particularly with and what we were talking about in the back. Does everybody know what the iReporters are? Is it iReporters?
iReporters, yeah.
Does everybody know what that is? So there's another side to the creation, right? Not just doing what you want.
Sure.
But then there's sort of a journalism media side of things, too. So tell us a little.
iReport is a user-generated content initiative at CNN. And so it's where anybody, whether it is a soccer mom or a blogger or a 10-year-old kid, can send us content, whether it's breaking news, Virginia Tech, the Hezbollah war, floods, fires, death and destruction, or something that is organic. Maybe even a commentary on the CNN YouTube debates, politics commentary, young people who rock. It's the series that I started. And again, that's not something that existed elsewhere in the blogosphere. We had to own that brand because I can't go to the AP and check out like a bunch of young people under 30. And then there's this, you know, panacea, there's this list. So we had to create it ourselves. So iReporters contribute to the content, and they're also becoming recognizable. CNN started iReport.com. Everybody know about that? No? Yeah, Jarvis again. So iReport.com is where these iReporters can live. So they can also create their own brand and their own identity. So there are some...
Talking to the microphone. He
can be an iReporter. So you can go on and you can create your own profile, like a MySpace profile, a Facebook profile. And you can, you know, become as recognizable, maybe not as recognizable as Wolf or Anderson, but definitely recognizable through that.
I don't know whether it's good that there's only like five laptops out or whether that's bad. I'm used to seeing the whole crowd having them out. So I know it's early too. So you guys have a different model, right? So right now we say, okay, you can create what you want to.
Exactly.
You can go through the media. You need to make some kind of offline but you guys work with a different model with creation.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a couple examples, though, with, you know, Nicole and Gary. I mean, I think that one of the things that, you know, will help separate what, you know, the so-called indie podcasters do is, in addition to having great content, utilizing traditional media outlets to help market and have people discover your programming. So if, you know, Gary's on Conan, that reaches X amount of millions of eyeballs right off the bat, so people know to go to winelibrary.tv to see more episodes and things like that. So I think that one of the things that we do is we're really very focused on making our content ubiquitous. So if somebody in our audience wants to watch it on their iPhone, they have that ability. If somebody wants to go to the website and watch it in the Flash player, they can do that too. It's just the fact is, you know, we're kind of shifting away from that very appointment-based viewing where it's an on-demand world. So whether you're in an airline, you know, on Virgin America watching our programming, or you're, you know, going to any one of 15 different sites that we have that you can get our programming, it's really about the consumer. It's about where our audience is and reaching them. So
my professor in college told me the way to make it as a writer was to write your first book and sell 1 million copies, and then you can do whatever you want. And there is some, I mean, there's sort of no getting around. I mean, at the end of the day, it would be nice if we could say, do X, Y, Z, you all be famous, and we can all be happy and do awesome shit. But it's, you have to go out and sort of hit the ground. And
you have to figure out first and foremost what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be the grand master of the Lego world and go to LegoCon and have like 8,700 people love you, then God bless you. Do that. I mean, you've got to really first and foremost think about what you want to accomplish. And then execute. Make it 24/7, 365. It is a pure commitment. Nobody's going to win. You're not. If you're doing a video blog, a lot of people want content.
Right.
If you want fame or whatever you're looking for, recognition, it's not going to happen without obnoxious amounts of work. You're going to be bleeding out of your eyes.
Right. And you go to a lot of these conferences where everybody sort of knows who you are. So I would want to know from out there, like, some of the big problems that you guys feel like you face. So as we're having this conversation, if you can also help us. Otherwise, we're going to do a whole lot of telling you, like, do your shit.
Craig, you're asking questions.
Tell me who you are.
Howdy. My name is Mike Pasateri. Day job's at Disney.
I hear they're going to make it.
We're doing well. We're doing well. Watch Lost. my question is more looking forward toward the future. So, you know, podcasting, video podcasting started with YouTube and webcams and all that kind of stuff. But as I look up at the panel up there, you guys have made significant investments in this, right? The first thing any podcaster gets popular does, they buy lights. Then they buy an HD camera. Revision 3 put a huge investment into their studio infrastructure. And it's really making this huge differential in the amateurs are becoming the pros. And with the pros come SAG and DGA and Writers Guild and Teamsters and all that stuff. So when do you stop being the upstart, and when do you start becoming the establishment?
It's like a question
from
the 60s.
When they pay you enough.
Right, yeah.
Once again, I mean, I'm just going to jump in real quick. Once again, what you want to accomplish. You know, for me, I can tell you right now, don't get upset, Omid, I will never stop doing Wine Library TV on my video podcast. And if a network doesn't want me to give away that free content because they want it to be, they want to sell commercials against it, then I'm not signing that deal.
You better not stop.
And exactly, and people are starting to get it. A year ago, that answer was like, ooh, and now, you know, because there's bright people in the field, they're like, yeah, keep doing that, end this. And so, you know, the question becomes, once it's convenient for what you're trying to accomplish with your brand, for me, at least.
I think from you know, the traditional studio perspective, too, it's a matter of, well, how mature is the model, you know, and are we all able to support the kind of the bloat that goes with union contracts and things like that, that, you know, we're at the point that we can actually justify spending X amount of millions of dollars on, you know, an episode, you know, of Lost, for instance. And, you know, I don't think that we're at that point. So I think that, you know, from the traditional side, I think it's yeah, everybody wants to strive towards higher quality on their podcast. And, yeah, you know, we have this awesome, you know, three-camera HD studio that, you know, is if you're in San Francisco, come on by. We'll show you. We'll give you the tour. But it's more of a matter of kind of, you know, growing the whole business. And, you know, internet video really is very still very, very young. So I think that, you know, as we continue to grow, you know, the investment will be there and the money will be there to support all of the rest that goes with it.
But do you think that CNN puts out professional quad podcasts? Is that kind of a good standard?
Professional isn't the thing. I mean, the thing is that there's these different economic models you're facing.
Right.
As Disney, you know, we hired Amanda Congdon to come work for us and do stuff like that. But it's the economics just change radically when you start getting into, like, when you start making a bunch of money, everyone wants a piece. So, Gary, when you start making a ton of money, everyone is going to want a piece.
That's what my old boss used to call a high-class problem.
My biggest goal in life is to make everybody around me trillions of dollars.
That's my new best friend, by the way.
I mean, you know, it's not a money game. It's really, you know, I'm going to keep going on this Zen crap that I keep talking about, but I believe in it so much. It's what you're trying to accomplish. But you're right. The game changes very quickly, and the game will. I just don't think people really fund it. Because in this tech, especially when you get into the tech world, everybody thinks it's like, it's over. It's over? We aren't even close to starting. Right. And so I think we're a long way away from, you know, I think we're a good 3 years away from people really killing it, you know? It's just the early stages, my friend.
Yeah, but just so you know, when we put our podcasts together and they look like they have all of these lighting kits and things like that, we actually don't. Just so you can get behind the scenes. We have, like, this little camera. We actually, Dermot came in. He was in one of my podcasts, and it's just, you know, a handheld. There's no big fancy anything. Even when you think this is CNN, this is a big network, you know, it's still really grassroots there, too.
The most famous man in the room.
Oh, Jesus, Garrett. All right. Yeah, anyway. So, Tim Ferriss, I have a question for... a question for you, also for Gary. Gary's going to save this for our intimate time. But I'll... I think this might be a question that hopefully other people would like answered as well. I think as someone who's sort of stumbled across an accidental audience, I'm wondering what the menu of options is offline. So maybe, Amid, you could talk about, like, you see someone like Gary, what are the options? You know, what do you see? You know, is it Pontiac? You know, what are the different options? And I'd be interested to hear the same from Gary and anybody else who wants to comment on it.
There's a lot depending on who you are and what you do. Gary is a unique example. We're doing a lot of things with him, and you know, some things that are going to become public very soon. Like, he's going to be on a food and wine festival that's going to go around the country. We're going to put him up on some speaking engagements at some point. Obviously, his book is coming out in May, and I'm, you know, with his...
So they're going to go public now.
No, these are all things that are going to be, you know, there's a few things that I can't talk about yet, but it's going to just vary, you know, depending on what the individual wants to do and what is available in their field, there are a lot of options. If Gary wanted to do a TV show, there's literally 3-4 dozen different production companies that have come to us and said, let's do a TV show with him. We're staying away from that for the time being. We've all made a conscious decision that it's not time yet. We don't want to do that yet. And he wants to stay true to his audience and keep doing the blog. So depending on what you want to do, there are a lot of options out there. There's speaking engagements. There's touring. There's, you know, like, he can become an actor at some point. I'm not going to let him do
That's
that because he thinks he's good looking enough, but he's
I'm
not.
I'm dropping a single next month, too, if anybody wants to hear it. Love Songs with Wine. It's going to be huge. Go to iTunes. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, my situation is very unique. There's a lot of people lined up willing to pay $10,000 to have a wine dinner with me. That's ridiculous, but we'll take it.
the CAA, ICM, a lot of the big agencies, do they only do all-inclusive? So this is something that I've run into because I have a book agent, and I actually talked to a couple of people at agencies, and they go, yeah, you got to drop the book agent. We want everything. And that's a consistent problem that I've run into. All right. So I'm just curious because I've run into that with talking to some of the sort
depends,
of big honcho type
depends
people.
On the agency and who the agent is. Yes and no. It can vary. It's different from every situation. We can talk offline about it. And
okay.
I can give further advice.
All right.
Because there's no one answer that's right.
I have a separate book agent.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thanks.
My name is Steve Richardson. I'm from Frog Pond, Alabama.
Frog Pond, baby. Nice. Represent.
Yeah. Word. And my problem is exactly the opposite. For a couple of years, I've been coming to South by Southwest. I already have a little bitty. I created a character about 20 years ago called Steve Trash, and I teach kids about recycling and sustainability.
Awesome.
And so I tour a couple hundred days out of the year. But I haven't found, like, the blogosphere, everyone seems to be 20 to 30 years old, and I'm trying to tap kids or their moms and dads, and I haven't actually found that super highway to reach them because
fish
the character already exists.
Fish where the fish are. You know, get involved in the social networks. I mean, look at you.
You're
the character?
The kids or the moms and dads?
Both.
Whatever you want to give them.
Are you the character?
I mean,
you are ridiculously brandable. I mean, if you want to come on Wine Library TV and taste some wine with me, we'll get you some viewers. I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to go to where the eyeballs are.
Right.
So you've got to become part of the conversation. Are you spending 4 or 5 hours a day in social networks?
No, I'm spending 4 or 5 hours a day on the road touring.
Well, that's the difficult part. I mean, for me, I put out the show, keep my eye on this multi-million-dollar business I run, and then get home, kiss my wife, and spend 5-6 hours socializing,
right,
conversating, and touching, kissing babies,
right,
whatever it takes.
So how do you find that pipeline?
Kissing babies
of,
works. I'm telling you.
I've asked that. I apologize if y'all aren't interested in kids or family audiences.
You hateful
people.
Are you kidding? If you hate kids,
puppies and shit like that.
So how do I find that pipeline? Because I really am not that savvy. All I know is entertaining people with a green message, really. And
two things. Either learn to be that savvy or find a partner that is that savvy. The end.
And some of it, I mean, if you're touring that much and you're going out and doing this, you should have a gigantic network of email addresses. You should have a gigantic, everywhere you go, you should have a place that people can come and interact with each other about this and talk to you and leave you messages that you respond to.
Right.
I mean, if you're out there, it's not so much about finding a social network. You're the super node. You are the social network.
Right.
You're doing what a lot of us can't do, which is tour. So you need to set up a site, and that would be where a partner would come in and said, okay, here's what we're going to. But you can go to WordPress and use the widgets and get enough interactivity. You get a good hosting company like Lamppost or Laughing Squid or whoever, and they'll build a database where they'll store all that stuff for you. And then you have a...
Along those lines, too, you know, think about the websites that are really big doing green things right now, the kid, you know, focused websites. So you can kind of distribute your content in ways to get in front of the right eyeballs. And in addition to, you know, doing the uploads to YouTube and trying to contact people, like, you know, don't be afraid to email and pick up the phone and just call, you know, random people at these giant websites and say, hey, I'm doing this podcast. You know, would you put us on the front page?
That's really smart. I'm definitely going to have to get a partner because I create the content. I just don't have time to get it out there because I'm just behind in a van.
You can stop sleeping.
Down by the river.
What's that? Yeah. Thanks for answering
the
question.
Thank
you. Of course.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Annie Roberts. I'm actually supposed to meet you next week, Nicole. So, hi.
You're where?
I'm from E! Entertainment.
Oh, hi.
I have a broader question. The challenge for us has been, and I guess I can pose this to everyone, is how do you launch that talent from online to network, just because what has happened is you have such a unique voice online, it's so watered down once it gets on television.
It's shorter, isn't it?
It's shorter,
yeah.
You can't
it's
swear.
Thinner.
Like,
right.
I can't swear, I'm out.
I'm sort of wondering sort of what's CAA's strategy to launch these people onto television as well, because it sounds like you guys are holding off.
Again, it goes to what the talent wants to do. If you want to move to television, then it's literally about creating partnerships, putting you on different shows to sort of get you a little more access to the millions of people who watch television on a regular basis. You know, Gary went on Conan. Now, that's something that came, he did it on his own, but it's about... I love you, Gary.
Is that your goal, Gary, to have your own TV show? Or?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I would have my own TV show, but it's... Nobody's going to give me the TV show that I want right now. I mean, I want to be the, you know, right after, you know, after Entourage, like while Entourage is on, it's like watch Gary the Wine Guy next. Like, I want something obnoxious. If I can't get obnoxious, I'm out.
Okay.
You know? So, and I'm not there yet, you know? And so I don't want to be
obnoxious.
On Spike, you know?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway. No filter, guys. No filter. Anyway, you know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go to the moon, and if I can't get the moon, then I'll sit and do my thing and love my family and buy the jets a different way.
Well, and the thing is that it hasn't really, it hasn't really been determined. I mean, this is a whole blank area. I mean, I'm at CAA with, you know, Omid and, you know, 15 other people who do foundations and television and film, and we have a book. I mean, there are so many multimedia platforms, but there's no rule book. There's no place where I can look and say, okay, well, I'm, you know, one of the first anchors for Pipeline. Nobody even knew what that was, and nobody really knows where we're going. So we're all kind of figuring it out at the same time. And like Gary says, there's a lot of there, and there's a lot of opportunities. And basically, there are no rules, so break them or, you know, just make your own, I guess.
I think the other thing, I'm just going to jump in. Everybody, there's no barrier of entry. Anyway. I mean, everybody's on, right? We're all available to the world now, and there's going to be a thin group, a small percentage that's going to get signed by agents or have some breakout opportunities. And even from that group, as we've seen some of the biggest internet stars, we don't know where they are, right? Right now. So they've signed with agent. Yeah, I mean, there's people out there. We all know who they are. So, you know, even a smaller percentage of that group is going to actually become a breakout real hit. And so it's going to come down to who's got the most chops, right? I mean, if you've got the goods, you'll get there. I don't think nothing is going
to
stop you if you've got it.
You have
but at the same time, you have to, from the beginning, multimedia, you have to keep that in mind. You can't just think, you know, only web. You have to think, you know, every day we're doing hits on headline news and, you know, CNN domestic or international
print.
Or whatever. Print, too. I mean, think
time
about the column. And it's all about, we were talking about this earlier, choose your own adventure and the way you want to get your content. So whether it's online, that's great, and this web talent can be developed online. But they also need, you know, an outlet offline as well. From the get-go, so you don't kind of have your 15 minutes of online fame.
You have to have passion, and you have to love what you're doing, as Gary said earlier. If you don't, it's not going to transcend. The audience is not going to see it. If you have passion and you put it out there, people will find you, and then you'll be able to go to other platforms.
Right, but I feel like the only person who's really sort of launched into superstardom, and correct me if I'm wrong, would be like Dane Cook, for example.
Andy Samberg. But yeah. And it's going to happen more and more.
It's,
I mean,
this is so early right now.
This is like 13 seconds into the game.
It'll just be interesting to watch.
But there's also an assumption in the question that that's what success is.
Sure.
So there's for a lot of us, I'm a writer, teach. Yeah, I have the body for writing, right? Like, that's what I got. and when I have enough whiskey, I got the voice for late night radio. But, you know, there are things like Creative Commons license, right, where I don't have to go. I never have to give my copyright away again. And I can then build, and that's what we're doing. That's what my writing, you know, I worked at Wired. My writing partner worked at CNET. We're connected into the nerd world. Like, that's what we do.
Yep.
So giving my stuff away to anybody is ridiculous, right? So it's not that success isn't just, oh, I'm Dane fucking Cook, you know, whatever. It's I control my, I decide whether I want to be on TV or not because I don't need them. What we do isn't dying, right? Like, the other media is slowly coming down. So the assumption that that's where you would want to be is maybe also erroneous.
And from the network studio perspective, also concepting from the beginning, understanding that, you know, television isn't just television now. It's television, it's broadband, there's mobile, there's all these other opportunities to entertain and engage your audience. So, and even as podcasters, you know, I'd encourage the same. How can you possibly get an audience in any way you possibly can? So when you're concepting from, you know, creative stage, how that looks and feels isn't necessarily just the half hour that or 22 minutes that the television show's on for. It's also, you know, how can I extend that experience across multiple platforms and, you know, entertain 24 hours a day?
You know, the world is moving. I'll give you a great example of what I thought was amazingly, shockingly awesome. Out of all the things, and knock on wood, I've had a lot of cool stuff happen, you know, big stuff. We did it, Eyewitness News in New York, Channel 7 did a piece on Wine Library TV, and it was awesome, and it ran, and we got some good buzz from it. But then the content went to the back of the New York City taxi cabs. And I'm going to tell you right now, out of all the things, Ellen DeGeneres, Conan, Nightline, Time, Wall Street Journal, let me keep going, New Yorker. Out of all the things that have ever happened with my personal brand, I think I got more attention for being on the back of the taxi cab. And that made me think, wait a minute, forget television. Maybe I want to be an exclusive deal on all the videos in front of the urinals across America. You starting to see those things? I mean, they're crazy. I mean, there's
captive
a lot.
Audience.
Things are changing. Things are mobile. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that in the future you're going to much more want to have the biggest brand on this thing than on something that's in your living room.
My name is Twana Hines. I'm sex dating relationships writer in New York City.
What did you say?
FunkyBrownChick.com.
Say it again.
Funky Brown?
Funky Brown Chick.
Dot com.
Just in case you didn't get
that. That is awesome. Yeah.
My question for you is, you guys have all provided a lot of great takeaways as far as make sure you're doing something you're passionate about, content and quality are king and queen. What are some of the real rookie moves or real, like, newbie things that you see and you're like, God, that's a pitfall I wish people wouldn't do? Like, what are some of the traps to avoid?
So trying to make cash right away. You know, selling out, right? Like, I'm going to put out a video and I'm going to put a product placement. Hey, this is the first episode of Johnny's Cattle Ranch Show brought to you by Ketchup. I mean, you know, nobody wants to see that. You've got to build your audience, not, you know, trying to monetize too early for me.
Well, also, I think that you also want to have a little bit of that authenticity as well. You don't want to be too slick at the same time. So, you know, getting more and more experience. There's something called a sung hero. You know, in the series that I work on, Young People Who Rock, there are people who I don't quite pass on because they have too much of a machine behind them. So you really want to maintain some of that, you know, just naivete, I think.
School.
Collect all your data. Keep it. Emails. Anytime somebody contacts you, you should have that network. You should have. You don't want to get to a point where, you know, you've been doing this property for a while, and now you're really ready to do something that you're like, okay, now I've figured it out. I've honed it, and go. Now I got to build an audience again because I haven't been keeping track of who comes.
Yep. Love your fans. You know, don't look at them as a number. Like, I need 80,000 of you to do. Love them. You know, start with one and love that person and interact with that person and give them what they want. And
kiss their babies.
Yeah, kiss their babies. Kiss their babies.
I mean, if the one thing we learned from the recording industry, right, like, don't sue your fans, right? Yeah, if they're passionate about what you do, like, let them be passionate about it. Don't
respect your competition. You know, sexy yellow chick or whatever, you know, don't be mad at her. All right?
And also remember that just because it's online, it doesn't mean it's easier. There's a lot of more.
That's going to get like 8 million YouTube hits when the guy puts it up online.
How's it going? My name is Eric Nordby. I work for Current TV.
Hey.
And I'd like to add to some takeaways for you. If your ultimate goal is to get on television, you really need to be concerned about some of the nuts and bolts legal requirements that TV require that the internet do not. You know, on the internet, you're covered by the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and you can do a lot of different things on that. But on television, you need to have legal clearance in a very fundamental way. Appearance releases, location releases, music, master and sync licenses. And so some of the pitfalls I see is when people just go to CNN or, you know, grab some footage off of CNN's website with Snaps Pro, and, like, just because you have Snaps Pro doesn't mean it's
legal.
You'll get a
letter from the legal department.
Right, you'll get a letter, and we won't buy it. You know, like, I see a lot of vlogs, and I see a lot of things with, like, you got Rolling Stones in there, and, Sympathy for the Devil is awesome.
Just in case everybody doesn't know Current TV, we were, like, reliving the Gawker party last night. Like, tell them what Current TV is.
Current TV is a cable and television satellite network. We're in 40 million homes in the United States and another 12 in the UK. We're on Comcast and DirecTV and all the rest of them. And we're a nuts and bolts cable
network. Did Al Gore invent it?
Al Gore invented the internet and the television network, and he's the chairman of the board. So he's very active.
And you guys acquire content from?
I acquire content from anywhere. I do make deals with ABC and Reuters all the way down to Alive in Baghdad or coolhunting.com or any of the other prominent vlogs out there. I'm very much interested in licensing that content for cable and satellite television distribution. So in order to make that jump, you need to have a very fundamental understanding of the business of the media, because it allows me to engage in contracts with you. And so if that is ultimately your goal, and I don't know that it is for everyone in here, but if you'd like to be on television, there are certain fundamentals that you need to understand and get into. And
you should come up here.
Well said.
We have another seat.
but all of that information can
that, you
like,
know what? That
shut
happened
up,
yesterday.
Let me keep
on,
I watched Julia Allison do that
I was
last
say,
night.
That
I'm
got on the gossip
that.
Panel and it was chaos. So just stay
yeah,
back.
I'm gonna stay back here and my personal life is off limits.
If you weren't there, but right. If you weren't there, read Twitter.
On current.com,
like
we
shirt,
have
dude,
copies
it's
of
great.
Those licenses, and
nice,
you can
right?
copy and paste them and change our names on them and use them for yourself. We have master syncs. All of those things are there. For people who are creating content for Current TV, you can have access to our pump audio libraries, our APM libraries, which are valuable music resources that all of the major networks use to
This session was brought to you by Current TV.
By ketchup.
But that's my takeaway. So question. For you, you have the
Nicole.
iReport now.
Hi.
And I was wondering, you know, we work very hard with, you know, citizen journalism and finding those people and actually getting high-quality content uploaded to the website. And it's a challenge. I see a lot of, like, monster hail balls coming down from a big storm on the iReport.
Don't you love that?
And I do love that, and I wish we got that because it'd be excellent, but we don't. We get stories, and I was wondering how much...
Wow.
Hey, you know.
Hey, nothing. I think you know, it's an open
discussion.
But I'm wondering
how many stories you get and what it's like working with the people.
You were nicer last night.
He's off his buzz.
Well, no, I we get... hundreds of thousands of iReports, and we're very lucky to get a lot of the content in breaking news situations because CNN's bureaus and correspondents are vast and they span the globe. But in a breaking news situation, nobody can anticipate the news. So, you know, Jamal al-Barghouti, who became the star of Virginia Tech, was an iReporter, and that was haphazard. So we appreciate that, but we also vet it. So what you alluded to was... you know, perhaps the blogosphere running amok without consideration for licensing and legal aspects, copying, paste from the site. Remember that part? I think that CNN actually vets all of their people. So there's this huge vetting process. So those hail balls didn't happen in a green screen studio. Do you know what I mean? There are a lot of considerations that go into making sure it's authentic. So dealing with them has been interesting, to say the least. I mean, I deal with one-on-one with iReports all the time for young people who rock. I mean, they send me all these sorts of pictures of them helping, you know, their grandmothers or, you know, their kids in the area, whatever it is. But we have to vet all of those. So it has been a challenge at times. It's also been the most authentic, and I think we were referring to that earlier, which is just really raw. And there's something so wonderful about that, and there's something so wonderful about seeing, you know, unedited video that's even kind of shaky and not with a light kit or not all slick, you know, network style. There's something really wonderful about that, and we really try and embrace that. So we do get some stories as well. Like I said, commentary. Marcus Haroon is one of our serial iReporters. He's like a 10-year-old boy who sits in his house, kind of Amanda Cognon-esque, and makes, you know, these newscasts for us. And they're wonderful. And they also go not only on the on-demand section, but they go, you know, on television as well. And that resonates. I mean, that gets a lot of people watching as well.
Before we move on to the next question, I want to add, because this is what I wanted to get to with the iReports, is how do you conceptualize... Because clearly, like, Virginia Tech happens, and you can't say, oh, well, we plan for that, right?
Right.
But the idea is, I'm assuming, that the iReports at some point blend in with the traditional reporting, right? And that it becomes all part of the story.
Exactly.
So how and do so, you, when you guys sit in a meeting and say, here's how we're going to do this, what does that look like?
Well, that's top secret.
budget meetings are
But no, it really is another way to tell the story. So it's not these iReporters, like I said, running amok. We're not letting the airwaves loose and saying, okay, it's going to be all iReport all the time. You know, they're vetted and they're supplemented with information that we've also gathered from, you know, correspondents and producers.
How much goes the other way? How much says, look, we have this video, right, from Virginia Tech, and we're going to now incorporate that into our traditional reporting as opposed to taking...
Well, I mean, that was the only video you had.
Like, right.
The shots from Virginia Tech, we only got from a cell phone video.
Right.
So those were played, but you can't play that, you know, 30-second clip, you know, for 24 hours in a news cycle day. So that
really?
Was played... well...
I don't watch 24 hours, but I remember seeing that a few times.
When you upload it, I mean, you upload it. You say, I'm going to report for CNN, and you get that cachet.
But in that case, I was told when I asked one of your bosses that you did license that particular bit of video.
You know, I don't know about that specific video.
Well, that's an interesting situation because 10 years ago, before the internet, you would have sent out the local business affairs guys who would license that content, who would pay them to have signed the contract immediately. They would take back the affiliate broadcast. But now, as with iReport, they just upload.
live, it gets even more complicated.
Right. Well, but that gets back to
the
brand.
The world changes. I mean, right. You know, we could talk about this stuff for the rest of our lives. I mean, the world changes, and there'll be adjustments. I mean, we didn't used to fly
right.
in planes.
I mean, the rules, right. you kind of
we figure it out. It takes time. But we'll figure it out. Yeah. And I think trying to figure it out right now, because right now you care about it, is just not a realistic goal.
Right.
Along those lines, too, though, I mean, you know, going away from kind of the traditional model of television and film and, you know, everybody's very competitive, I think, like, you know, one of the things that we're all very big on is helping each other out. So if you, you know, go on somebody else's, you know, blog and you comment on their show and, you know, it's just, it's like
love.
That kind of time. It's, you know, just kind of get out there and get in the community and be a part of it and, you know, help figure it out and help move this thing
and
forward.
Coming from the media, if there's a person, I promise you, if they find somebody that does really good work and really consistent work and it's something that they can depend on and they know, that person's going to get hired. I mean,
like I said, the rules are kind of being formulated
right.
as we get the content. You can't anticipate what's going to happen. Like I said, I mean, it's, you never know. Jeff.
Hi, I'm Jeff Jarvis.
J squared, baby.
And well, everything that you say is right. My blog gave me a second career, a second childhood, a book contract, but I won't plug that or else I'll sound like Sarah Lacey yesterday.
Whoa.
We've now referenced the two big issues yesterday. Gossip and Facebook.
So you're tough,
you know,
dude.
I get speaking gigs out of the blog. I get all this great stuff out of the blog. But the problem is, my question is about the ad infrastructure to support all this. Is that
it's
I
coming.
Think there are lots of ways. Oh, I agree, but where it's going to come. There are lots of ways we can make it now, and I've gotten things on my blog. I make like a few grand out of my blog, though, in advertising. I was going to start a video company, but I saw no infrastructure for selling ads yet. And so your only choice is to deal with a big company now and to get hired on by them or syndicate to them or deal with those kinds of models, which for now is great, bravo. But the flowers are really going to bloom when quality can rise and be supported in ad networks that go around.
Sure.
Are you seeing any infrastructure started?
Give me your card
Everybody's
and I'll
trying.
Tell you, yes, there's a whole bunch of infrastructures out there for that.
And I think that, you know, part of the real issue around, you know, video advertising is that there are no real standards. There's not a 30-second ad that makes sense for this format. So is it an overlay? Is it a post-roll? Is it a 3-second title card up front? Nobody's really
right,
kind
standards
of
for the kinds of ads and measurement, and I hope we're going to get people together.
But Jeff,
well,
you
but
know
that
what?
Microsoft
you know what?
Just did a deal, and they just came out with the Rich Media ad platform that allows you to create the same kind of media plan that goes in traditional, which is contextual, right? It means it's not a click-through model, because what we learn is if I see this banner here, and then a month later I go to the site, they can track what you've done and what you've seen and say, well, you saw this kind of ad here and this kind of ad here, and it makes it easier for media planners who really are uncomfortable. Because we told everybody we were fucking lying, telling, oh, we can measure everything on the web. And really, you can, but just because you click on it or don't click on it doesn't mean it's not part of that influence. But
Jeff, you know what? I'm sorry to jump in. Real quick, you know, don't just not do video because you can't monetize it yet. You know, people were doing blogs, and there was no AdSense, right?
Yeah.
And then when it came out, the people that were doing it and killing it and had audience killed it.
Yeah, amen. Gary, for me, yes. But when I was hiring other people to do it.
Well,
and it was coming out of my pocket, and you know I got mouths to feed. Then
I understand.
You know, that's the difference.
I understand,
there.
But you know what? Every business depends on this. I went to the video platform and didn't monetize because I could afford it because something else was going on here.
Right.
And if that couple grand can sustain you over here, because you know it's coming,
right.
Everybody's working on it.
Right.
Some who what infrastructure? Everybody's working on it because whoever gets it is going to kill it.
Right.
But you hit it on too. You know, the consistent quality video. You know that's like really that's. What advertisers want. That's what people are looking for to advertise against. It's that, you know, the other stuff that, you know, is very difficult, you know, the shaky, handheld, you know, so-called kick in the nuts videos, like, those are very difficult to monetize.
No, it's about series. It's about quality, it's about series, yeah. And it's about a brand. But it's also about massive audience. I hate to say mass, not mass. It's about sufficient audience to make the dumb advertisers who are still pumping up the price of upfront
yep.
able to
but
pay attention.
Don't worry about the singles and doubles. Go to hit a home run. Get 8 million viewers. You'll find ways to monetize it.
Yeah, there's no 8 millions here. I don't
well, know. You know, you, no
well,
question.
There's a lot of 1 million.
Yes, there are. No question. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, if you really think about it, as the advertisers, the guys who are making and gals that are making the decisions at, you know, 50 or 55 years old, and I'm not demoing, but, you know, as the next generation.
Yeah, watch it here. Yeah.
I understand. I know who you are. The fact of the matter is, as the next generation of decision makers, the people that are laying out the cash, you know, I'm starting to meet some of them. They want to be in this space more than in the other space. And so as this group comes in and makes the decisions, there's going to be a lot of opportunities.
Right. And that's why the measurement platform is so important right now, because they can then take that to their bosses. I mean, part of my job, I used to have to go on sales calls, which was fucking great, right? And, like, the people that I talked to were 30. They got it. And then we went to their boss, and they were like, well, we don't get this, right?
The advertising world deals in millions, not thousands.
That's right.
It depends on where. That's not true. If you.
But the game is changing, right? I mean, I spent $2 million as a liquor store in New Jersey on Google AdWords 3 years ago. $2 million. Now, nothing. You're right. We're not. You know, Coca-Cola doesn't give a crap about me, right?
Right.
But little winery X that's going to spend $25,000.
Right.
They're a lot better off spending it with me than the Wine Spectator, my friend.
Right. So, I mean, they all don't just deal in it. I mean, what, Disney? Yes, Disney is dealing on a different level than the rest of us. But they're...
Yeah, it's the network. You're right. We need networks.
They'll come. Let's all chill.
But that's
it doesn't happen overnight, folks. Relax. Do great stuff. Feed your families. Love people. It's coming.
The money's coming.
It's coming. Now, here is the most famous man in the room, by the way. And you know what? Don't.
We got to make the standards and make the networks and make the stuff.
I'll be honest with you. No matter what your niche is, go out and get. I mean, if you feel like you've got something and if you're sitting at home right now and say, gosh, why isn't this lip gloss company advertising with me because I'm perfect? Go out and tell them.
Right, call
them. Take it.
Right.
Yeah. Go out and get it.
Yep.
Don't wait. Just email them and be like, you need me.
You're the buzz machine, man. You can do it.
And it's amazing how
lip
often
gloss. You think it'll work?
Yeah.
That's all you, JJ.
Can I just tell you how weird it is to be getting Twitters from people who are in the room? Like, I don't know if they know that I follow them. Some of them do. And like, thinking about what people are saying. Which, these are good. These are not like yesterday. Like, fucking asshole. What's he doing?
I love this guy.
I don't have those people on my. I block them.
Hi, my name is Rhea Becker, and the issue I'm going to bring up was already touched on a little bit, but I write a blog for baby boomers,
cool.
And I thought, great, 78 million audience members. Well, they're not getting to my blog. I mean, I'm doing okay, but I was on a panel earlier this weekend, and we talked about sort of 49 and up and what they're doing. They're a lot online, but not a lot on blogs. And somebody at the panel said, oh, it'll be 3 years. We're sort of 3 years behind the curve. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Real life marketing? I'm huge on real life marketing. One of the big advantages I had when nothing was going on was, hey, come and meet me at this wine bar and I'll buy everybody free wine. And that works. You know, and so, you know, take your product to the real world. Don't wait 3 years. Do gatherings where your fans can touch you. And so put yourself out there and keep building your audience. Your audience is all you've got. And so the more you can do for them, the more you can win. So for you to say, hey, and plan it way ahead because you probably are scattered. Where are you based out of?
I'm in Boston.
Well, that's great. Good. So tell everybody to come to Boston and have a dinner together and let them say, you know, there's nothing more explosive in the real world than this. When a lady's sitting at home in Minnesota and saying, I'm going to Boston for the weekend. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to this baby boomer blog gathering. What?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden things start happening. I'm very huge. And that was a lot of use on real life outreach.
Mm-hmm. I think especially for your demographic where it's a lot more difficult, you know, to gauge the usage and the type of usage that boomers have online. You know, I think that doing real world events and things like that is a
They're
really good idea.
More comfortable with that.
Right.
Mm. Okay. Tim, number two?
Like question number two. He's not leaving.
I think you're wrong. I think you should be on TV, dude.
Hey, Gary, Michael Ross from Spike TV.
So my man?
It's a callback. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I know. I was hoping. I didn't feel it.
All
I knew
good.
You were joking.
I know. It was
thank God.
Planned for 15 minutes here.
That's great.
Well, all the yelling in the room is so interesting to us over here. What shows out there are most interesting to you guys that are not on your own networks or maybe not who you're representing at CAA, but what physical shows, serialized shows, and Damon, not squeegees, because I know you were working on that earlier, but what shows are out there that you guys are enjoying, that you think are things that can possibly make it to the next level, or things that will continue on that people will continue
I'm
to watch?
In and get out
wait, and just so we're clear, we got 10 minutes left, so if we can, we got a couple people up here. Let's
that was a
that.
Great sure. question, though. So
it was a phenomenal
let's
question. I'm going to jump
that
in
one
with
first.
Mike.
Amazing. Thank you.
Michael, amazing. Awesome work. Go Sony.
I'll give you a great answer as a producer and somebody believes in their community. I don't watch anything.
Thank you.
Because I'm all about my community. I don't want to watch something for 30 minutes. I want to answer somebody's question to what wine they want to serve for Thanksgiving.
There was a great show on YouTube that people in the entertainment business know about, but most people here might or not know about. It was called We Need Girlfriends. Three guys back east. Nice. They just shot a show on their own. Darren Starr is going to produce it now as a TV pilot. You know, I don't know if anyone watched it, but they did it on their own. They literally just went out. They're three college graduates, just got out of school, made a show, and now it's going to be a TV show possibly. So there's a lot of stuff out there. That's a good one because they did it on nothing. They had a camera, and they had three of their friends acting in it.
I'm really immersed in a lot of the youth politics right now. There are a couple that stick out. Scoop 08, which has a stellar advisory board, Lieberman and Woodruff, and I mean it's massive. This guy in Exeter started it. Go Green Man, which is the recycle guy should hook up with.
Yeah,
him.
Is he still here?
He's this. Oh, he had to go sing.
No, he's in the back.
He's in the back.
Oh,
Go Green Man.
Go Green Man is really cool because it's this this little. I think he's 11, and he runs around and asks candidates questions.
Be on the lookout for more brats and Beretta. There's a bunch of stuff coming out.
Why Tuesday is pretty good. I mean,
Internet Superstar and Revision 3, the concept is killer.
Thanks.
It's true.
All right.
Okay, I'll make it fast.
Number two.
Just for the baby boomer lady, sorry, I don't know your name, but most of the people who read my blog do not read blogs, actually. So when people ask me how did I build the blog, it was all from offline. So I second Gary. It's sort of the neglected channel. It's like what happened to offline. So if you have a 1,000 readers and somebody likes, they really love one post, I mean, take that and pitch it to people offline, and you can get a big audience really quickly. But the question is, actually two really quick questions. You can pick whichever one you like. The first is, there have been a number of personalities. I remember a few of them from last year. There's this like blogebrity thing, and you know a lot of them you don't hear about anymore, and they failed in making the crossover, and I'm wondering maybe why you think that is. The second is, if there are any people who are maybe online talents who don't have huge audiences yet, but that you guys are watching.
Great, great question.
Well, to answer the first part, I honestly think that, you know what, a lot of the people that are in the video blogging space right now are either talking about news and tech, those two. And there's a lot of competition, and there's only a few people, and, you know, there's a lot of competition. You know, I'm shocked that there is not the Siskel and Ebert on the internet. Everybody would watch it. I mean, maybe there is, but it's, you know, there you go. But it needs to be bigger because I need to know. You know, I mean, there's a lot of where's the celebrity chef? I mean, but, you know, it's hard. I mean, you've got to put out constant, content. So the two or three people you're talking about right now, they disappeared. And when you're disappearing, nobody's talking about you. I don't know why.
It's just a matter of managing what you have. There's a show that was introduced to recently called Bitchin' Kitchen. It's these people in Montreal that are doing this amazing 5-minute cooking show, but it's with a big edge. It's not just like, let's cook. There's a girl, she's very like full of energy. You know, what's going to happen to her? I don't know, but it's a great show, and I'm watching it right now because there's a huge potential for crossing over. There's a lot of chef shows on TV, but they all do the same exact thing. She's changing that market right now. So if she gets her shot on TV, she might become the next big thing. But it's about managing what you do. They've, you know, they have stayed away from just selling a show on Canadian broadcast because they want to come to the U.S. And you got to just don't jump into things too early, because if you have something that's going well and if you jump into the wrong opportunity, you can kill yourself. Your product is, you are your product, and you have to protect your product and you have to protect yourself so that when you go into the right opportunity, hopefully it blows up.
Let's get to the next question. We got 5 minutes. We're doing
Steve,
well.
I feel Steve Neesmith, my only claim to fame is that I've commented on Jarvis's blog this week.
That's awesome, dude.
Well, quick comment. First, been in the publishing business for a long time. We had a saying, if your audience is everyone, then your audience is no one. So if you have limited resources and you're like the baby boomer lady, maybe, you know, go after baby boomer triathletes or something like that. And then advertisers will be much more interested in you because they want that audience. They want that audience. That audience spends money. Now, the quick question. Just curious for the panel and for the independent vloggers, have you had an issue with the mainstream media poaching your content, your personalities, et cetera? Is that a positive? Is that a negative? Is that flattery? Does that help your cause? Does that hurt your cause? That's my question.
Well, if some guy named Barry Hainerchuk comes out and does a wild wine show, that might stink. But, you know, I mean, any publicity you can get from mainstream media is great, as long as they're being ethical about it and not just taking your content and never mentioning it. You know, I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I'd almost want that to happen, because I've got the platform to scream and yell about it, and then who knows, then everybody could talk about it. So you've got to look at every negative and turn it into a positive in life, not just
a lot of the great thing about where we're at right now. For I think that from the bigger corporations kind of looking at this space, they haven't figured it out. So They're not looking to take your content. They're looking to buy your content. They're looking to license what you're doing. They're looking to expand out what they offer, because, you know, it's very difficult in a profit-driven system like a major conglomerate to say, I'm going to pay attention to something that's $10,000 an episode and understand why it gets a million hits. It just doesn't equate yet. So getting partnerships with them is really huge. I encourage.
We got time for one more question. Sorry, I know.
Lauterbach is out. Two.
I gotta get us out.
Waste of time.
Go.
You guys aren't running this shit. I am. You got one more question.
Oh, I'm Meg. I write for thebargainqueens.com. I know there's a lot of focus on advertising. We have affiliate links that we use for products that we personally recommend. But we've tried to stay away from things like AdSense and things like that for kind of a credibility that I think is missing in some other sites and magazines and stuff. How else can we make money?
Well, so you're worried about credibility with AdSense, but you're making money on products you're recommending people to buy on the back end.
It's not like they come and say, you know, hey, you know, talk about our product. I mean, it's stuff we choose and say.
It's stuff you choose, but you're affiliating it. I think you should put AdSense, because that's even more not credible to me, for example. Honestly, you know, I mean, I think the days of being scared of how to monetize are over. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when everyone's like, I don't do anything. Right. You know, I think, you know, Scoble put ads on, so everybody's allowed to kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I think do whatever you want. Just don't get cheesy and just, you know, shoot for...
Be transparent.
Yes. Absolutely.
The worst very thing you can do is act
do
like...
Do people know that your buying links are affiliate links?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
that's great.
We're
that's
very
how you win.
About that.
That's awesome.
We choose products from things like Amazon
sure.
and other sites like that.
I got 90 seconds. No, I got 90 seconds.
All right, just a quick question. There seems to be an assumption. Sorry, Jim Lauterbach from Revision 3. I was letting David do most of the talking.
Oh, you're the guy I keep interviewing. I'm Brad King for ECT News. We've talked like four times.
So anyway, there seems to be an assumption on this panel that in order to be successful, you have to break through and cross over from internet-based stuff to traditional media.
Here we go.
Is that really the case? I mean, can't you be a star and have a great life on the internet
yes,
and
absolutely.
Never
wait, weren't
traditional?
You here for the beginning when we were talking about that?
You came late, dude.
But I got to tell you, I've been hearing all these guys say very much that you got to break through, you got to get to traditional.
We had a long discussion about that. You don't have
so
to.
So I apologize
that.
To everybody.
Jim, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, we all, I mean, is there anybody who doubts that television is not the platform of the future? I mean, it just can't be. I mean, radio wasn't, you know, it just changes. Life changes. We might be watching on spaceships. I mean, the game changes. And so we need to embrace that. But, you know, a lot of people are like, I can't wait. We're an impatient culture. And if anything, if you love what you're doing and you can breathe and pay the bills, do what you love. That's how you're going to win.
It's not just about TV and movies. It's about everything else. Online is the place to be. It's going to be the future. I mean, we're looking for talent that wants to stay online. It's much nicer to sort of grow your talent online than try to immediately move into TV. That's a big, messy market that no one wants
everybody
to deal
should
with.
Be everywhere.
Yeah, at the
I
same time, it's
print.
Content. It's content. Content
I
want to
be a cartoon.
Everywhere.
I want to be everything.
You are a cartoon.
This is the first time in 15 years. I've been doing this goddamn conference for 15 years that there wasn't a mass exodus. So I thank you guys for coming out at 10 o'clock.
Thank you guys.
So much, guys.
Thank you for coming this morning.
Panelists. Have a good rest of your show.